gender role reversal in Jaime's narrative and in his relationships with Brienne and Cersei. Written by Janie Tangerine. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, A Song of Ice and Fire. Rating, mature. Relationships, Jaime Lannister / Brienne of Tarth, Cersei Lannister / Jaime Lannister. Also tagged for meta, nonfiction, gender roles, gender issues, character analysis, Book 3, A Storm of Swords, Book 4, A Feast for Crows, amputation, and gender role reversal. Part 4 of the Janie Tangerine, Jaime Brienne meta series. This podfic was originally created for Annalise 010 for ITPE 2019. Summary. In which I metted and spent a more or less reasonable amount of words discussing how gender role reversal is a fundamental theme in Jaime's personal narrative, and how it affects his relationships with both Brienne and Cersei, and how it touches both women's narrative as well. Disclaimer. As usual, everything belongs to George R. R. Martin, and the quotes are there to prove a point. I own nothing except for the rant. When discussing Jaime's loss of the right hand, as we saw in the previous piece, we can also tie it into a more general discussion about how it affects the gender role reversal in between him and Brienne, and how it ties to his relationship with Cersei. Specifically, as far as he is concerned, his problem isn't specifically tied to his lack of masculinity attached to the hand, which could be assumed, given that when he loses it, he thinks he's lost everything he's worth, including fighting, having sex, and so on, which are all technically male characteristics, but the hand itself in the sense that if he was born to be a warrior, taking it from him is basically taking his main source of pride and joy from him, and it makes him useless at his job, since it's being in the Kingsguard. And given that he can't be with Cersei in public, of course he makes up for it with his chivalric prowess, which he doesn't have anymore. That is a self-esteem blow of epic proportions, because if he doesn't have that, then he has nothing else going for his supposed usefulness. And mind how he keeps himself alive, also thinking he'll see Cersei again, because that makes him feel like he can survive another day. If he doesn't have his skills, he'll have the woman he loves / who loves him, right? And he has to command the Kingsguard without what makes him a knight, and so on. Now, the thing is that he has to eventually find out that he can fight and have sex and so on without the right hand, and that doesn't define him whatsoever. But it doesn't matter, because the way he processes things, as I said in that other post, he equates feeling good with both sex and sword fights. So taking his ability from one also might mean taking away the other. And guess what? If you don't count the sept sex, he and Cersei haven't really done anything. That's not her trying to have sex with him and him refusing her when he realizes she's disgusted since then. Which could cement it, But it's not what makes him feel like a woman in a derogatory sense. It's mostly about him feeling like he doesn't have any more what makes him good at his job or makes him Cersei's mirror. And mind that until he meets her again and it goes like shit, he's subconsciously aware that she wouldn't like it if he looked different from her. The reflection in the water was a man he did not know. Not only was he bald, but he looked as though he had aged 5 years in that dungeon. His face was thinner, with hollows under his eyes, and lines he did not remember. "I don't look as much like Cersei this way. She'll hate that." Now, if she loves him that much, should she care? She shouldn't, but he thinks she will. And while he tells himself that he has to go back to her, he knows subconsciously that she would hate him to be back changed enough that she can't recognize herself in him, which should already suggest a lot. But later, when he's asked what Brienne is to him, he answers, "I will ask after her, what is this woman to you?" "My protector." Jaime had to laugh, no matter how it hurt. Sure, he finds it hilarious, for obvious reasons, but he doesn't go and think it's ridiculous. Actually, he's the first one who says she's his protector. And then, in the tub, "Does the sight of my stump distress you so?" Jaime asked. "You ought to be pleased. I've lost the hand I killed the king with, the hand that flung the Stark boy from that tower, the hand I'd slide between my sister's thighs to make her wet." He thrust his stump at her face. "No wonder Renly died, with you guarding him." She jerked to her feet as if he'd struck her, sending a wash of hot water across the tub. Jaime caught a glimpse of the thick blonde bush at the juncture of her thighs as she climbed out. She was much hairier than his sister. Absurdly, he felt his cock stir beneath the bathwater. "Now I know I have been too long away from Cersei." He averted his eyes, troubled by his body's response. "That was unworthy," he mumbled. "I'm a maimed man and bitter. Forgive me, wench. You protected me as well as any man could have, and better than most." First, he thinks the sight of the stump distresses her, when instead she's most likely skittish because she's bathing naked with another naked man, and from someone who thinks she's ugly slash undesirable, bathing naked with someone else is exactly the kind of thing that'd make you skittish. So it's not the stump. Then he tells her everything he did with it, and she doesn't care. And she only jerks up when he mentions Renly and her failure to protect him, not before. Then he gets hard looking at her, and one can see that he has a pretty messed up conception of sexuality if he thinks that it's because he's been away from Cersei too long instead of, "I have a naked woman in front of me, of course I'll get hard." Also, he's troubled by his own body's response, which is what a 15-year-old guy would think, and he feels halfway guilty for having felt attracted to someone else, which, again, he has a very messed up conception of sexuality. That said, what does he say to apologize? "I'm bitter and you did a better job than most would have," i.e. men. And he's aware that she basically kept him alive through the entire thing and doesn't think she's lesser for it. All the contrary. This means that Jaime himself doesn't see his own condition as ending up in the damsel's position as demeaning, nor has any problem seeing Brienne as someone who can and will do what most men would, and has no issue whatsoever with the idea of her protecting him. Which is why we're in full-on reverse gender-coded territory here, and that Jaime doesn't really care about it. He doesn't, but because he's gone outside gender norms when he was young, and switched his clothes with his sisters, and has no technical issue with the idea of women not being inferior and so on, and he also doesn't care for external looks, which is obvious from how he's the only one in the family who doesn't judge Tyrion for them. But at this point, he doesn't have the scope to see the entire situation, and he has no idea of that, nor that he might actually be having feelings when it comes to Brienne. Because again, he spent all his life convinced that he and Cersei are the same person. We're talking about a guy who romanticizes everything he touches to an insane degree. Knighthood, his sister, his family, and so on. And that, when seeing that it's not the case, reacts very badly. But his relationship with Brienne is pretty much devoid of it, because when they met, they didn't even like each other. And he didn't exactly put her on a pedestal. She earned it in his eyes, same as he earned his place in her chart of people she actually admires and loves. Now, when it comes to how Cersei deals with it, we have one overwhelmingly negative reaction. Point is, Cersei wants herself in a male body because she wishes she was born a man so she could be in the position she yearns for, i.e., Tywin's heir. Jaime's needs or personality or whatever matter zero to her. But as long as he thinks they want the same thing, then the entire relationship holds. But when he wants different things and loses the hand, this is what happens. Fool, no one who wears a crown is safe. She looked around the hall. Mace Tyrell laughed amongst his knights. Lord Redwyn and Rowan were talking furtively. Sir Kevin sat brooding over his wine at the back of the hall, whilst Lancel whispered something to a septon. Sennel was moving down the table, filling cups of the bride's cousins, with wine as red as blood. Grand Maester Pycelle had fallen asleep. There is no one I can rely upon, not even Jaime, she realized grimly. I will need to sweep them all away and surround the king with mine own people. Excerpt. You were better before you lost the hand. Sir Barristan, when he was young, Arthur Dayne was better. And Prince Rhaegar was a match for even him. Do not prate at me about how fierce the flower is. He's just a boy. She was tired of Jaime bulking her. No one had ever bulked her lord father. When Tywin Lannister spoke, men obeyed. When Cersei spoke, they felt free to counsel her, to contradict her, even refuse her. It is all because I am a woman, because I cannot fight them with a sword. They gave Robert more respect than they give me, and Robert was a witless sot. She would not suffer it, especially not from Jaime. I need to rid myself of him, and soon. Once upon a time, she had dreamt that the two of them might rule the Seven Kingdoms side by side, but Jaime had become more of a hindrance than a help. The moment he tells her that she's wrong, and actually tries to counsel her, after he loses the hand, he becomes more of a hindrance than a help, and she needs to rid herself of him. That's not exactly what you think of someone who's your other half or should love no matter what. The moment he loses the hand, she basically downgrades him because he can't be the man she wants to be, and his needs and wants aren't important. That's not even taken into consideration. Also, in that moment, Cersei is being more pro-reinforcing gender roles than she'd like to think, because when he loses the hand, which makes him her male counterpart too, and one who can defend her in time of need like no one else could, and shows that he has a personality that's not hers, she has no use for him anymore. And for how much she hates men for holding her down as a woman, she does the exact same thing to anyone else she can get away with, including Jaime. And that's not loving someone back, regardless, because they're your other half, which is what Jaime desperately wants instead. Jaime's entire system is built on the idea that he loves her, but she loves him back. And when he finds out it's not the case, well, friendly reminder, he did burn that letter and is trying to put himself back on track. Also, in that context, she says that she dreamed they'd rule the Seven Kingdoms. But Jaime could have ruled them when he killed Aerys, and he didn't even attempt to do it. It's her dream. It was never his, and she doesn't even realize that. which says all about how much she's aware of his emotional needs. When it comes to Brienne's reaction to it, though, her side is the most complicated to unpack. But that's because Brienne is in the sort of unique position of being the only one character who manages to go past gender roles completely, but actually doesn't relish it. The point is that Brienne has to be a knight because it's the job that better suits her build and allows her to not be stuck at home in a role she hates, surrounded by people who make her feel inadequate, and fills her with ideas about honor and allows her to have a chance at good things. After all, her key quote in A Clash of Kings was, "Because it will not be the last," Catelyn answered sadly, "because they are the Knights of Summer, and winter is coming." "Lady Catelyn, you are wrong." Brienne regarded her with eyes as blue as her armor. "Winter will never come for the likes of us. Should we die in battle, they will surely sing of us. And it's always summer in the songs. In the songs, all knights are gallant, all maids are beautiful, and the sun is always shining." "The winter comes for all of us," Catelyn thought. "For me, it came when Ned died. It will come for you too, child, and sooner than you like." She did not have the heart to say it. Brienne would rather live in a song where the sun is always shining. If you die, it's okay because people will remember you. The knights are never not gallant, like the ones she had to fight off all her life. The maids are beautiful, like she's not. And everything is always better than in real life. And in this sense, meeting Jaime basically strips that from her, but not enough. In the sense that he makes her realize that reality and songs don't go well together, but it doesn't mean she won't keep trying to behave the way a proper knight should, which is what she does all through A Feast for Crows. At the same time, Brienne also fell for Renly when they danced together. Dancing, as in what ladies usually do. And she was wearing a dress, and he was basically nice to her while letting her be feminine for once. Brienne admires Kat for having a woman's strength, and Brienne is entirely down with protecting also women along the road. Regardless of what might seem at first glance, Brienne doesn't hate feminine things. She just doesn't partake in them because she's better at being a knight, which is sadly a man's job in Westeros. And everyone made fun of her whenever she tried, which added to her overall self-esteem issues. As of A Feast for Crows, Brienne's going around Westeros, risking her neck to do knightly things, even when, as a woman, it's 100% more difficult than it'd be if she was a man, and taking on that role. But when she wants to weep on Jaime's shoulder, she's basically saying she wants to be vulnerable with him, like the soft, helpless maidens she's not like. "Or I could take the King's Road south," Brienne thought. "I could slink back to King's Landing, confess my failure to Sir Jaime, give him back his sword, and find a ship to carry me home to Tarth, as the elder brother urged." The thought was a better one, yet there was part of her that yearned for Evenfall and her father, and another part that wondered if Jaime would comfort her, should she weep upon his shoulder. That was what men wanted, wasn't it? Soft, helpless women that they needed to protect. It's interesting to note that weeping on her shoulder is about what he did with her when he told her about Aerys. But again, Brienne has no preconceived notion of gender roles blocking her because she doesn't hate the female-coded ones, but has taken on the male-coded ones her entire life because she either had to or felt called to or felt more at ease with them. Back in Jaime's situation, he also doesn't care that she's defying them. Actually, he likes it and respects her for it, and that makes him look even better and more appealing to her, because he's the only man who took her seriously, for real, for herself, and not for how useful she could be. Brienne, being a woman into guys, definitely noticed that he's attractive. She tells him, "The white cloak becomes you," when he gives her Oathkeeper. And in her first A Feast for Crows chapter, She thinks about the Harrenhal bath and remembers him looking half a corpse and half a god. And there's enough textual evidence to assume she's in love with him. But what's more important is that on one side she's bent on being his knight, because he trusted her with it and she swore to protect him before he sent her off. On the other, she sees him as the only man who, having come back for her in the bear pit, she could allow herself to be feminine and vulnerable with. Because that was the only time in her life she actually was the damsel and not the knight. Now, that's something he did without the hand. So the thing is that to Brienne, he was the knight in not-so-shining armor, or armor period, when he jumped into the bear pit without a weapon or anything else to save her life after coming back for her, which no one has ever done before. Actually, until then, she's fought off everyone for herself. To Brienne, his most heroic moment is when he tries to save her without the hand, so she couldn't link that to his supposed lack of masculinity or skills or heroism, because he didn't need that hand to save her. Also, it's interesting to note how, in A Feast for Crows, they both defend each other's honor and avenge each other. Jaime punches Ronit Connington in the teeth, as in her former suitor who ruined her self-esteem for good and disrespected her so much that when she has a fever nightmare later in the book, she sees him and wishes Jaime was there and would come back for her. On the other side, Brienne kills, and fairly bloodily and not gallantly, two of the Bloody Mummers, Tymian and Shagwell, who have been especially terrible to both of them during their captivity, thinking that she's doing it for Jaime as well. And of course, neither of them knows what the other is doing in this sense. Still, Brienne's literally going knight in shining armor in him to the point where she's willing to die for him, and she has no issues with that, because that's what she's good at. Same as he has no issues with it, because he entirely accepted that she can do the job and has done it for him better than most people would have. At the same time, she also sees him as someone who would or might let her be also soft and helpless, while he sees her as a gentler than his sister, and trusted her with his most well-guarded secret after she literally kept him alive when he was sure he wouldn't make it. And the hand, to her, matters absolutely nothing. And that is why Jaime and Brienne's relationship can be described as a case of continuous gender role reversal, in which he's coded as the damsel in distress most of the time and she's coded as his knight. But they switch places a few times, mostly the bear pit, to a point where they're basically well outside gender roles, both in Westeros terms and modern terms, but it works perfectly for them. The point with Cersei is that, for as much as she thinks she's not, she's completely stuck to the Westeros gender role structure and can't get out or maneuver around it the way other women in the series have to, because she wants to have the same power men have without resorting to alternative ways of having it, and will stick to it, and cares for having power more than anything else. On the other side, Brienne has been outside gender roles all her life and doesn't particularly care about any of them, even if she suffers for being denied her feminine side. And Jaime has seen enough to know that gender roles are nothing of import and women aren't lesser than he is. On top of that, he also mostly wants to have his emotional needs met, which he most likely has never had, which is why he and Brienne match perfectly in that sense, because he wouldn't mind being with someone outside gender roles who gets him, and she needs someone who'll have her exactly the way she is, and be into her regardless of her looks or how she works outside the norms, and who would let her also be soft and helpless if she needed it. That works for them, because they could and would and have been that person for the other already. Except that they haven't quite realized it at the point the books left them, because they're two fairly damaged people who are very bad at understanding their own feelings. And that is also why Cersei and Jaime post-hand loss can't work, Because she needs someone who's her and looks like her and wants what she wants. And Jamie doesn't and never has. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!